You know what that sound means? It's another episode of the Game for a Movie podcast where we ask, are you game for a movie? My name is Mike. I'll be your host tonight. We have a special Father's Day episode, and just like me, Father's Day has to be late, of course, because I never get anything right on the holidays. I never get it done in time. So this one's only like a week late compared to my Mother's Day episode, which was 3 weeks late, I think, maybe even 4 weeks late. So at least I kind of put a hurry on this one, I'll say. I have a plan already for 4th of July, so hopefully I can get that done on time this time. We'll see about that, though, because, you know, time gets away from you and everything like that. Being that it is a Father's Day episode, we have a specific fathers-related movie. And, of course, we also have a beer. Today, we are drinking the Juice Angler from one of my favorite breweries that I like to frequent. It is Untamed Waters. It is in Fort Mill, South Carolina. I know we moved to North Carolina. I always joke because we're right on the border that I do my drinking in South Carolina, and I've been to Untamed Waters, I don't know, probably 1,000 times at this point. But it is one of my favorite places to go to. It's a chill atmosphere, good beer, and I usually end up leaving making a friend or two. So that's what's nice about Untamed Waters, right there in Fort Mill, South Carolina. It is also the place where I came up with the idea to do a Mother's Day and Father's Day edition this year. So that should also take credit for why you have this episode now in front of you. Speaking of that Father's Day movie, let's talk about it. It is the movie Father Figures, which technically came out in 2017. It's marked as a 2018 movie, but technically it came out in 2017. I know that's a little weird because it did come out December 22nd. The one thing that Father Figures definitely has going for it, it has a phenomenal cast. We've got Ed Helms and Owen Wilson playing the two leads. Their mother is played by Glenn Close. We've got Terry Bradshaw, of all people, with Ving Rhames, J.K. Simmons, Cat Williams, June Squibb, Katie Aselton, Ali Wong, and Christopher Walken to close it out. I don't know about you, but on paper, this movie should have been a lot better than it was. And I will also give it, it's not one of the worst movies I've seen. It's not great, I don't recommend it to anybody, but I've seen a lot worse movies than this one. This was the directorial debut of Lawrence Scherr. You may recognize that name not because of the actual movies he's directed, but because he's been the head cinematographer on things like Joker, Godzilla, King of the Monsters, Garden State, The Hangover. The list goes on and on. He actually has 50 great credits worth of director of photography or cinematographer. This dude is a hot commodity in Hollywood. So don't get me wrong, I'm going to shit on this movie. But this is his directorial debut, and he is known for a lot of other things. Father Figures was written by Justin Malin. He has had some credits as well. He's the head writer, screenplay by for Office Christmas Party, Father Figures, obviously, Yes Day, and of course, one of the favorite ones I like to talk about on the show, Clifford the Big Red Dog. He also is writing the earlier script for Bad Teacher 2. Yes, that may be a thing that actually happens in the future. Bad Teacher 2 might be coming. When Malin finished the script, it was sold less than 2 days after being pitched. That is an impressive 36 hours. And it was originally titled Bastards, but about 3 months before release of the movie, they decided to change it to Father Figures instead. Probably because it had a nice December Christmas window that, I don't know, maybe your kids don't want to see that there's a movie called Bastards coming out. This movie was nominated for one award, and that nomination was for Trashiest Trailer by the Golden Trailer Awards. They didn't win, but they were nominated for Trashiest Trailer, so, you know, there's that. A quick synopsis before I jump into the main details of this movie. Upon learning that their mother has been lying to them for years about their allegedly deceased father, fraternal twin brothers hit the road to search for him. Our twin brothers are played by Owen Wilson and Ed Helms, and the mother is Glenn Close. I think I've said that before, but just so you have an idea who we're dealing with to start it off. So without further ado, let's get into the movie. Of course, we start with a prostate joke, and that is the kind of humor that we're really being set up for. Ed Helms is a doctor, and more specifically, the kind of doctor that sticks his finger up people's butts for a living. He's not a great father, and he's possibly an alcoholic. We've learned this in the first 2 minutes of this movie. His character's name is Peter, and we learn that he needs to loosen up. He needs to calm down and not be so uptight. You know, the typical Ed Helms stereotype that he goes for in these movies. His brother Owen Wilson, named Kyle in this movie, got his image on a bottle of barbecue sauce that is selling everywhere. So basically, he has a lot of money, but he's like this surfer, laid-back kind of guy. You know, the odd couple that we have to start off this movie. Their mother is getting married, which is bringing them both together. Peter brings his son to the wedding, and Kyle doesn't remember Peter's kid because it's been like 4 years. So, you know, Kyle, that laid-back surfer type, kind of focused on himself, doesn't remember his brother's kid because he just doesn't care. It's not about him, that kind of thing. Obviously, at this point, we can already guess that Kyle's going to teach Peter kind of the laid-back, and Peter is going to teach Kyle something about caring about others or something like that. After the wedding, Peter is relaxing and he is watching Law & Order SVU, and he recognizes that their father might still be alive because of this episode. And he just has this feeling that their father is alive somehow. Glenn Close, the mother that is getting married this weekend, her name is Helen in this movie. She reveals that she lied about their father, and this is the crux of the movie. They are going to go out and they're going to find their dad. Couple lines that I wrote down because of this. It was the 70s. You have to understand the priority was smoking weed and fucking. And then Peter goes, I stare at assholes all day long because of dad's colon cancer, which the dad might never have had. So we've learned that Peter's kind of modeled his whole life off of his dad's potential colon cancer. And his assistant is Donna from Parks and Rec. She's kind of convincing him that it's okay. Like, you still are successful, that kind of stuff. And also kind of pushing along that maybe they should go and find their dad. After a while of trying to get her to admit who the dad might be, because she doesn't even really know. It could be potentially multiple people, because again, the priority was smoking weed and fucking. Helen throws out the name Terry Bradshaw, and we learn that Peter loves Terry Bradshaw. Like, it's an idol of his that Terry Bradshaw, and especially that he might be his father. Peter is all but gung-ho now to go figure out how to find Terry Bradshaw. So Peter's ready to take a road trip, and he's going to go to Tampa because that is where Terry Bradshaw is. He's opening a car dealership, and he's doing like a meet and greet. So if they get down to Tampa, they can meet up with him and tell him that he's their dad. And I say them because originally it was just going to be Peter, but Kyle's just kind of like, the universe is telling me to go on this trip. I want to go. The universe is telling me we have this mission now. So Kyle convinces Peter that they can go together. They get the first ticket they can to fly to Tampa. And by the way, they spend an exorbitant amount of money, which is no problem because Kyle's obviously the face of this best-selling barbecue sauce kind of thing. So it's not a big deal. But it's just, if I were to sit there and do the math of all the traveling they do in this like 2 week period, I got to imagine it's somewhere in the like low 20,000s at least. So they get on the plane and the flight attendant starts flirting with Peter, and it's like very obvious flirting and that kind of stuff. And Peter just kind of biffs it. He just kind of shoots it down and messes it up. And Kyle's like, what the hell, man? Like, she was obviously flirting with you. You're divorced. It's fine. You can totally have sex with this woman. Peter admits that he's only had sex with one person, and he's still kind of like not over her exactly, especially because it is the mother of her children, or child, I guess I should say. So now the mission has changed a little bit. The top mission is meeting dad, second mission is getting Pete laid, and the third mission is stone crabs. This is what Kyle's priorities are. They go to this Terry Bradshaw dealership that just opened up. They get to the front of the line. Kyle is confused as a special fan. Again, this is the kind of humor that we're dealing with in this movie. And they ask Terry if he remembers Helen Reynolds. And basically, Terry just like is euphoric, talking about like, oh, Helen Reynolds, yeah, she's so sexual, she's so this, that, going through all of the sexual features. And both of them are just sitting there kind of like cringing and everything like that. And they reveal to him that Helen is their mom and that he may be their father. And Terry at first is kind of like, no, I couldn't be, no. And he starts thinking about it and goes, well, maybe. And now he's happy. He is elated and realizes they might be his sons. And so I say movie over, right? This is great because Terry is happy. He takes a loving to Peter right off the bat. Kyle, not so much. He's feeling a little lesser, but it's okay because they've found their dad. So he takes them to his house and says, like, you guys got to come over for dinner. My wife will cook, everything like that. And so Terry and Peter drive like this super fast car that Peter gets to drive. And basically Kyle is left to follow them in like a shitbox car that they just rented. Terry opens the door with Peter and walking in, talking to his wife. And the wife's like asking the right questions about random people coming to the house, like saying they're Terry Bradshaw's kids. I got to imagine some of these people are probably like in real life, Terry Bradshaw, you're my dad. I could use some money, that kind of stuff. And so like, she's just, are you sure these are your kids? Are you sure they're not coming to ask for money? And Terry goes, Peter, do you like need some money or anything like that? And he goes, oh no. I'm like a famous doctor. I'm good. You know, that kind of stuff. And Terry goes, he's a doctor. I told you, these are my kids. This is good people. We're good. So they're like passing the football back and forth, you know, doing the things a dad and son would do and everything like that. And Terry throws one to Kyle, and all of a sudden out of nowhere, Ving Rhames, who was playing Rod Hamilton, tackles Kyle to the ground in the sand. Rod Hamilton is a famous linebacker that played with Terry, is what the idea in this movie is. And he's moved in next door because he didn't want to leave Terry. They got a budding bromance, but really they're good friends and everything like that. After the catch and everything like that, they're all talking, catching up, and it comes out, Terry asks Rod, do you remember Helen Reynolds? And he's, oh, Helen Reynolds, oh, we had this. And Terry goes, yeah, these are her boys. And he goes, all we did was cuddle, word. it just made me laugh because that one was a good delivery by Ving Rhames. If you don't know, I'm actually a big Ving Rhames fan. I think he's funny as hell. He has great wit and everything like that. If you don't remember the Piranha 3DD or 3DD episode, Ving Rhames was probably one of my favorite parts of that movie. I love Ving Rhames. That dude does no wrong. But then Rod brings up, because he finds out the birthdays of the boys, he brings up that couldn't have happened because Terry was in Australia recording an album and Helen didn't have a passport, so she couldn't go with. So in the time of conception, that kind of thing, and doing the math, there's no way Terry could be their father. And he's just like, oh, you're right. And Terry's actually a little disappointed. And it's kind of a touching thing because Terry wanted to be fathers to these boys, even though he keeps calling Kyle the wrong name. He keeps calling him Donald. But, you know, he does, like, want to be in these boys' lives. And it's kind of a nice moment when he's, like, saying goodbye and everything like that. And they realize now there's another guy that it might be. It's this guy, Roland. She was seeing this guy, Roland, sometimes. And I don't remember how they get the last name, but they get it somehow. And they figure out where Roland lives. And basically, Kyle says, it's the universe telling them things. This wasn't the stop, but maybe this Roland guy is. Roland is played by J.K. Simmons. We're going to get to him in a little bit, but just so you know ahead of time that it's this J.K. Simmons is Roland. So the brothers are driving up to go to Roland now. And Roland lives, I want to say New York. I didn't write it down exactly, but I want to say somewhere in New York, like upstate New York. It's supposed to be a nicer area, that kind of thing. And the only reason I say this is because they end up in Worcester, Boston, or Worcester, Massachusetts, and it wasn't far out of their way is part of what they bring up. This part of their journey involves a lot more driving. So they end up at a stop off to go to the bathroom. And Kyle's in there, and then there's a guy obviously taking a shit, and his son's in there with him. and his son crawls under and starts peeing on Kyle. And basically the dad's just kind of like, oh, you gotta pee on him back so he learns to stop it and everything like that. And so they start a pee war, essentially, where they're peeing on each other. And Kyle's phone goes off, and he's just like, hold on a second, hold on, I'm peeing on a kid. I'm sorry, what? I'm peeing on a kid. Okay. The phone call is the guy who created the barbecue sauce. And basically he said they want to go a different direction than Kyle. So Kyle is no longer the face of the barbecue sauce brand. He doesn't reveal this to Peter because it's just got to, you know, there's got to be some drama in the movie that gets revealed later. You can't just tell them about your problems right off the bat. Plus, he doesn't want to derail Peter because they're on this mission as loving brothers to figure out who their father is. So as they're driving down the street of where Roland supposedly lives, there's all these nice houses. And then finally they get to one that's a little like, it's not a bad house, but it's gotten a little decrepit. Like they have not been caring for it. And they're wondering if Roland actually lives here anymore. They knock on the door and they're like having a conversation, waiting for Roland to answer the door. And all of a sudden, Roland appears holding a gun at Peter's head. He thinks that he's about to get robbed, that somebody thought, oh, this house looks like the winning ticket and we're going to get robbed and everything like that. And so like Peter's just like, no, we may be your sons. We may be your sons. And Roland's just like, what? And go, you remember Helen Reynolds? And he goes, oh, Helen, yeah. Yeah, I remember her. Oh, my God. She's so sexual. She's so this. You know, this is a common joke throughout the whole thing and everything. And then reveals they may be his sons. So he just, like, lets him go. He's just like, oh, okay, come on in. And he hands Peter the gun because, as he quotes, I don't like holding it. And so Peter now has a gun that he just walks in with. And so Roland's mother comes downstairs. He lives with his mother, and she's freaking out because she sees Peter with the gun and is going, oh, my God, we're getting robbed, Roland. And he freaks out and grabs another gun, to which Peter just, like, holds the gun up and is just like, what? No, you handed this to me. No, we might be your sons. We might be your sons. And he goes, oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. And puts the gun away. And Roland's mother is played by June Squibb, who you've probably seen in something somewhere down the line. She has so many credits, I'm not going to name them all. But she's basically, nowadays, she's basically the old lady in every movie you've seen, probably. And just this year alone, she's been in Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, 2 episodes of Velma as an older woman. She was Thelma in the movie Thelma, and she was Nostalgia in Inside Out 2. She's also got 3 other movies or TV shows coming out that are upcoming, and she has 98 other credits. So June Squibb, you've definitely seen somewhere down the line. Amazing actress. She's a bit part in this one, I'll say. And so is J.K. Simmons, just so we're clear. Roland at first is convinced they can't be his sons, but he's basically going along with their stuff and everything like that. And Peter and Kyle are insistent. They're just like, no, you knew Helen Reynolds. Like, you were together at this point in time. There's a chance you might be our father. Roland goes and sniffs both of them, like gives them a big. And then he walks away and freaks out in the other room because he's certain now they are his kids. And he's just freaking out. And so after he freaks out, his mother convinces him to go back out there and talk to them about their relationship and everything like that. So Roland takes them down to the basement, where, of course, there are creepy mannequins everywhere. He makes them open a box, and immediately Peter drops the box because it contains a rat. And Roland goes, sorry, that's the wrong box. The right box has pictures of Roland and Helen together, both very happy. And Kyle says, or Peter says, you don't have to tell us how amazing a fuck she was. And Roland's just kind of looking at them and goes, she's the only woman I ever loved. And so they kind of feel it for this guy because, like, he actually cares about their mother and everything like that. And so even though he's a little strange, they're willing to go along with him and everything. Roland has a job that he is a repo man. He has to go get this car that wasn't paid for by this rich guy. And so he takes the boys with him to help him do this repo job, just more so to get to know them, that kind of stuff. As they get there, the husband and wife who own the car pull in, and they're obviously trying to repo the very nice car. He says that he has the repo papers in his car, that the boys just don't let him leave in the car. He'll go get the papers, show it to the guy, and then they'll be on their way. So the boys are holding the car and basically like watching to make sure that nobody does anything stupid. Roland is really running away. He is like, there's no way that he's their father, and he just doesn't care. And on the passenger seat just happens to be the box of the pictures. And he looks at them and he feels bad. And he comes back to help the boys. The owner comes out with a gun and starts firing at them. So the boys get in the car and they basically are like trying to get the hell out of Dodge. They pull away and Roland is walking back. And of course they run over Roland. And he loses a lot of blood, like a lot of blood. And he also is getting arrested. So they're in the hospital, like checking with him, making sure he's okay. And basically we're like calling him out, like, why did you let this happen? And he's like, I don't know. I didn't want to be a dad. I don't want to be your dad, everything like that. And the nurse goes, he isn't your dad. We have his blood type. There's no way that you two are the blood types you are. And he has this blood type. There's just no way. And also he admits that there's no way they could have been his because he did his first stint in prison around the time that they would have been conceived. But he does have an idea of who their father might have been, but he's not going to tell him unless they pay him $1,000. Peter walks away. He's like, no, I'm not doing this anymore. We're done. This is over. This mission's over. Everything like that. Kyle, of course, sticks around and pays Roland $680 for the name Sparkly P. So Sparkly P could be their father. They're basically ready to call it quits. Essentially, even though they've got the name Sparkly P now, they don't know where to go from there. Because how can you figure out from Sparkly P? And Peter is, fuck the universe. This entire time it's been telling us to shut down Operation Who's Your Daddy. Which I thought was a funny line because now it's Operation Who's Your Daddy. So now they're going to drive back to Ohio. Apparently this movie took place in Ohio, or they're from Ohio or something like that. I didn't know that, but apparently that's where they are. So they're about to drive home to Ohio and they make eye contact with a hitchhiker. This hitchhiker is Cat Williams. Cat Williams wants to go to Worcester, Massachusetts because that's where his family is. Basically, they come to a conclusion they can get him to the train station. But Peter, of course, is worried that he's a serial killer. And so they're having this whole conversation and like Cat Williams is just like, I'm not a serial killer. And like, okay, that you're emphasizing the wrong word here. And this whole scene is kind of like awkward, that kind of stuff, because he could just say repeatedly, I'm not a killer or something like that. And so they grab like the jumper cables they have in the car and they tie him up so he can't kill them, but they can get him to the train station. Cat Williams, doing his best Cat Williams, is listening to their problems, and basically it started this whole fight. Peter is upset because Kyle's perfect. He's never worked a day in his life. He's always gotten everything handed to him, blah, 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 blah. Kyle's just like, you've chosen your life. You've made your own bad decisions. And it gets so bad that they stop the car and they get into like a little slap fight. And Cat Williams realizes they've parked on a choo-choo train track to have this fight. And so a train's coming. And they're so focused on their slap fight, they're not getting out and everything like that. Finally, Cat Williams is guys, there's a train coming. Choo-choo train coming. Choo-choo train coming. And Peter gets out. He's able to get Cat Williams out. Kyle is struggling with his seatbelt. And the car gets hit by the train and gets absolutely just eviscerated. And we don't know what happened to Kyle. We think he may have died at this point. Obviously, Kyle's going to be okay, right? Obviously. My thing was, I'm more shocked by that Cat Williams, the hitchhiker, didn't die. I thought for sure that was going to be the end of his bit. He was going to be stuck in there, and it was like, oh, sucks. Sorry. But Kyle survives, and they all embrace, and they have, like, everything's forgiven. And so they're just like, oh, this is great. But then Kyle winds back and punches Peter to feel better. He's just like, oh, you could have had me die. All right, cool. So now they're sitting there waiting on the cops to talk about everything and everything like that. The cops are interviewing hitchhiker Cat Williams while he's still tied up, by the way. He's still wrapped up and everything like that. And Kyle tells Peter that he's not the barbecue sponsor anymore. He's not the face of the barbecue company. He also thinks that he might bail on his girlfriend and child because his girlfriend's pregnant now. And because they might be better off without him, because he is a slacker. He is poor now. He doesn't have any money. He doesn't have anything. And he thinks he's going to be a bad dad. And Peter kind of talks to him and just like, no, you're going to be great. You're going to do great and everything like that. Talks him out of it and everything. And Peter kind of apologizes for Operation Who's Your Daddy. He just wanted to figure out what his dad and everything like that. And he didn't like that Kyle didn't really care. And Kyle says to him, I wasn't that curious about dad because, like, I had you, Peter. Like, I always had you and everything like that. And so it's a nice touching moment that then gets ruined by a joke that Peter doesn't actually wear glasses. He wears them because they fit his image, but he has, like, 20/20 vision. He doesn't need them. Why was this a thing? Why did this need to happen? I don't get this. So the cops come to them and they're asking what happened and everything like that. And they're talking about how their operation Who's Your Daddy. And it just so happens Sparkly P is known by the cops investigating their car crash. Sparkly P is Patrick O'Callaghan. Patrick O'Callaghan is like this famous cop in Worcester, Mass. And the hitchhiker wanted to go to Worcester, Mass. And basically, they've all decided this is the universe talking to them and everything like that. So they take the hitchhiker. They drive him home. They give him the jumper cables as like a memento. And basically, his whole family's waiting for him. He's grateful for the ride and everything. And they go check into a hotel in Worcester, Mass, awaiting the next day where they're going to find out if Sparkly P, Patrick O'Callaghan, is their actual father. One of the bits on this is when they go to the hotel to check in, for whatever reason, the hotel clerk just whispers. It's kind of a dumb thing, to be honest. But, you know, it happens and everything like that. They go to the hotel bar to have, like, a bite to eat. Kyle excuses himself to go to the bathroom, but he also sees that there's somebody at the bar and is kind of like convincing Peter to go talk to her. It's Katie Aselton. Katie Aselton's from the League. She's the wife in the League. That's the thing I know her most from. There's probably a bunch of other things that she's known from, but that's the thing I know her from, and she's amazing in that. So that's the only thing I think I want to know her from. If there's any other roles that she's done that are not as good, we'll see. She plays Sarah. Well, Peter, for whatever reason, decides that he has the courage. So he decides to go up and talk to her, and they have a drink together. They're hitting it off. And Kyle comes back and realizes, oh, he's talking with her. He's like, okay, cool. I gotta go on this special meeting. Why don't you have the room tonight? I'll see you in the morning. So Kyle leaves and lets Peter try to get his game on, and they hit it off, and they do have sex. And Kyle sleeps in the car overnight, and everybody's basically pretty happy, even if they don't find out. They're going to find Sparkly P tomorrow, find out if he's their dad. Peter's back in the game. He's just hooked up with this girl. Kyle, he's been convinced that he's going to stay with his girlfriend and the child. He actually has a FaceTime with her in the car, and like everything feels okay. We're in a good spot. Even if they don't find Sparkly P, they feel okay. So of course something's got to happen, but we're going to get to that after this quick little word about the people that guessed our bad movie correctly. That is Screen Nerds Podcast at Screen Nerds Pod on Twitter/X. You can find them everywhere, their podcast everywhere. They wanted a shout out for this. It is a podcast for film lovers by film lovers, and you can find it wherever you get your podcasts. They've been a friend of ours pretty much from the very beginning of our podcast journey. Definitely check out their stuff at Screen Nerds Pod on Twitter and X. You can find their podcast everywhere. It is the Screen Nerds Podcast. Thank you guys very much for guessing it correctly. So everybody's happy. Now they are going to go to Sparkly P's house. They find his address and they go to his house and they realize that, yep, there's a bunch of people at his house and they are all wearing dark colors. He's dead. Sparkly P, gone. It's unfortunate. He seemed like a nice guy, even though we didn't actually meet him. They're at the casket, like saying, oh, we wish you could have been our father, or you might have been, and you know, you seem like a good guy and everything like that. And somebody in the crowd makes an announcement that the eldest daughter is about to say a couple words on her father's passing. And wouldn't you know it, it's Sarah, the girl that Peter just hooked up with last night. Yep, she may be his sister. Of course, why wouldn't it happen this way? This is the only way it could have gone down. And they're just like, okay, we need to get out of here. We need to get out of here. They bump into some guys. And of course, they're the typical like Massachusettsians, whatever you want to call them. Bostonians, that's probably more fitting. The Woosterins, that kind of thing. And they're tough guys that want to get into a fight. So they take it outside and everything like that. And Sarah realizes like, whoa, Peter, what are you doing here? Like, why are you here? Why are you at my dad's funeral and everything like that? And they get into a fight with these guys. And basically, some guy breaks it up, gets them all to sit down and talk. And it's the uncle, or it's the brother of Sparkly P. And he gets them all to talk about everything that's going on, everything like that. And basically, they admit that Sparkly P might have been their dad. And Sarah immediately is just, oh, God. Oh, no. And they learn that Sparkly P was a good guy and never had sex out of wedlock. And so, even though Sparkly P was like in love with Helen and everything like that, they never had sex because he never put a ring on it. And so good news, Sarah and Peter can continue fucking. They're not actually brother and sister. And Kyle also has a line where he like points at Sarah and goes, you were worried there, weren't you? So yeah. Because they never got married and because they never had sex and everything like that, obviously this couldn't be their father. And it was also because they didn't get married because of an affair that Helen was having for a long time, basically. The affair was with some guy named Dr. Tinkler. And yes, that is his real name, Dr. Tinkler, who just so happens to live in their town, be their vet, and he's the one that put down their cat, Chairman Meow. And now it all makes sense. Obviously, Dr. Tinkler is definitely their father. That makes sense because, like, why would they live in the same area? That kind of stuff. So they road trip it all the way back to Ohio, and they're going to confront Dr. Tinkler. This is when I also learned that Ali Wong's in this movie because she is the receptionist for Dr. Tinkler. And Christopher Walken is Dr. Tinkler. And he seems to know already why the boys are here and everything like that. Also, he may have had an affair with Ali Wong, his receptionist. That also is a thing that might have happened. They're having this super serious conversation with Dr. Tinkler, and they keep getting distracted by the fact that there's a cat on the table that just has like massive cat balls. So, you know, again, another thing. Dr. Tinkler's able to distract them for a second, and he's running off because he just doesn't want to deal with this. Kyle somehow picks up a tranquilizer dart gun and shoots Dr. Tinkler. And so they put him back in the vet room. They call their mother and they're just like, yeah, we're here to talk about this situation. We know the truth now that Dr. Tinkler's our father. And finally, it all comes out. Helen isn't even their mother. I know. You're as thrown as I am. Helen used to work at a battered women's shelter. And a woman came in 6 months pregnant, went into labor early, and these boys were born and the mother died. And so they don't know the father's name because she never gave it up. All they know is that the mother's name was Jenny. And Helen basically stayed single raising these boys because she didn't want them to be broken up in the foster care system. She wanted to care for these two twins. So Helen took them on and basically stayed single for their sake, so that she could watch over them and take good care of them and give them a life. It's also, they don't know the dad's name because Jenny never revealed it, and they wanted Jenny to be able to start a new life. So, it's a sad moment. And then you think about the whole movie you just sat through to realize that just because Helen didn't want to tell you this, you just spent $20,000 trying to find your father's. You went through various exploits. And to find an answer you'd never actually have, because your adopted mother didn't want to tell you where you actually came from. And mind you, these aren't kids. Like, when they were kids, I understand. You want to hide that kind of stuff, everything like that. That's a lot for a kid to take on. These are full-grown men. Like, they're adults. They can handle it now. They can deal with it and figure it out. But instead, you just went with this lie that your father died of colon cancer, which spurred all of Peter's life now. And they are trying to find their fathers because of another lie you told, because you just wouldn't tell them the truth. And like, this moment's actually very touching. It really is. They actually did a pretty decent job with this moment. But it's all because of a lie. So Kyle goes outside. He's lost faith in the universe because they were born and they killed their mother. But Peter convinces them the universe gave them a mom who sacrificed everything and kept them together instead of separating them. Helen comes out and was just saying, I'm afraid of hurting you, losing you. And they basically reveal their exploits. And he actually did get hit by the train and survive, by the way, because he says, you almost did lose me. I got hit by a train. That's all that we're supposed to have at this moment. It then goes to an epilogue, which is a year later. Peter is a better father to Ethan. They are dating Sarah, and it seems like they're visiting Kyle in Hawaii. Truthfully, they actually live there now. And the brothers created an app together that basically, this app sends you positive messages from the universe. And it's voiced by Hitchhiker Cat Williams, because of course it is. And that's it. Happy ending. Yeah, I went on that whole spiel about the fact that she lied to them. She lied to them again. They could have known this stuff, and this whole movie didn't have to happen, just in general. But I just mean in life in general. You took so much time from these boys' lives to not tell them the truth. And I understand, again, in the beginning, when they're kids and you don't want to separate them, put them into foster care, and you don't want to let them know that their mother died because of them. I understand that. I do. When you're kids, that's a big thing. And so, like, it was easier at that time to tell you, like, father died, I'm your mother. Okay, fine. As adults, I think they have the right to know. I think they should know, especially if you're telling them another lie that Terry Bradshaw is their father. Why couldn't you have told them right then and there what happened? And yeah, it would have sucked. It would have hurt, everything like that. but you still, they still probably would have seen you for the person you were that took care of them and took them in and everything like that. That's what drives me most nuts about this movie. This movie is not awful. It's not amazing. I'm not recommending it for anybody, but this movie is not awful because it has some funny moments. It has some good scenes. It's a lot of vignettes, which is kind of fun. The Roland scene could have, I could have completely gotten rid of that, but it's fine. So like this movie, I'm not upset it happened, but it could have been a completely different story if you actually did what most people in that situation would do. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm making a bigger deal of this than I thought. But that reveal at the end, though they did it in a touching way, that reveal at the end almost made it worse for the movie because, like, you're sitting there going, now, why the fuck did I watch this movie? So, I don't know. I'm frustrated by the ending. I'll say 3/4 of the movie was okay. It's not great. It's not Shakespeare. It's not, you know, anything like that. Again, I'm not recommending this to anybody. However, you could watch the first 3/4 of this movie and have a decent time. Decent, not great, but decent time. The end of it just makes it now, why did I watch the 3/4 of this movie? I didn't need to, you know, because at the end, it just doesn't matter. This whole search was based on a lie. So I think that's where my rating comes in. I'm trying to think of a rating to give it. I'm probably going to give it 1 out of 5 jumper cables tying up a serial killer. The first 3/4 of this movie, I would probably give a 2.5 out of 5. Probably. Because of that ending, it brought it down 1.5. And I mean, that's just what it was. That's just what it did. Overall, this movie, like I said, not bad. It could have been a lot worse. The cast in this movie was pretty damn good. Some of the scenes with Christopher Walken, I don't know what it is, but he looks like a robot because of his face. It just doesn't move. And then some of the parts of this movie were actually funny. I actually liked some of it. I mean, I could have done without the Roland scene. I could have done it without the sleeping with your sister scene. That's fine. Like, and it's partially because I don't know if I saw it coming, but I had an idea that maybe they were going to go that way when Peter started, like, hooking up with Sarah. It's like, okay, I think this is going to go probably. She's related somehow, and that's kind of dumb. I almost would have been better with this movie, though, if it would have ended. Okay. This is going to sound weird. All right. I would have been happier with the ending if Sparkly P was the father, dead, and Peter hooked up with Sarah than the way it actually went. Because at least at that point, there was a purpose to their mission. They actually found their father. They didn't get to talk to him. They didn't get to catch up, that kind of stuff. But at least they found their father, and it did end with a little bit of incest. However, it was better than making the whole movie pointless, the purpose of the movie pointless. I guess that's what I'm saying. You know, it sounds weird that I would have rather the incest ending, but that's kind of what I would have preferred. That's strange. I don't like that. I don't like that those words just came out of my mouth. But, you know, that's what it was. I mean, I would have preferred the incest ending. So, yeah, it's a 1 out of 5 jumper cables tying up a serial killer. Or not a serial killer. As Cat Williams so poignantly said. So, yeah, that's Father's Figures. Like I said, not a bad movie for the first half, but, you know, could have been better. Could have been better. So, yeah. Have any of you seen this movie? I want to know if any of you guys have seen this movie or have thought about it. Because it did. I felt like it was everywhere for a while. Like, I felt there was a lot of promos for it and that kind of stuff, and then it just kind of disappeared, probably because it wasn't as good as it could have been. So I feel like it just kind of, like, tapered off and never went anywhere after it got revealed. Because I remember seeing this movie and going, wow, that's a stacked cast. Maybe I am a little interested. And then saw the trailer and was kind of like, nah, I'm good, that kind of thing. But obviously, because I like to torture myself, I've actually seen it now anyways. So yeah, Father Figures. That is a movie that exists. I definitely watched it, and I would have preferred the incest ending. That's God, that's so weird to end on and everything like that. But yeah, so I've been Mike, your host for the Game for a Movie podcast, where we ask, are you game for a movie? Thank you guys very much for tuning in. I've got a 4th of July episode hopefully I'll get to on the right amount of time. I also have another backlog of movies that I've seen that I can now record and edit and hopefully have done for the rest of July, August, into September, I think, is when I can actually have some of these edited and ready to go. So thank you guys very much for tuning in for the Game for a Movie podcast. I'll see you next time. And don't prefer the incest ending of this one because I'm an only child. Bye.